Amen. You say, I want more. Well, you have to come back tonight. We have church at night, too. Amen. And so Brother Walker is going to preach to us in just a few minutes. Just to let me remind you about Junior Camp, and he'll be preaching each night out there at camp, and we're looking forward to what God is going to do. But what will really help us as a ministry and a church, you know, it'd be a shame if we had camp full of young people and our teenagers out there to help with that, and some of our church people going and our parents going into the cabins, if we as a church don't spend every day, take a little bit of time to pray for what's going on out there every day. Not just for safety, you know, we want to pray for safety, but God would do a work. We want God to meet with our young people. Now, I love teenagers, and I want to see our teenagers in the teen camp. They're going to go to two camps this year, and we're investing in them. But wouldn't it be great if God got a hold of their hearts while they were young and drew them into Himself and really revealed Himself and what He had for them to do at a young age, and they pursued it. And God can do that, but it's done not only through the preaching, but coupling with the preacher that we brought in, that we've been praying for, and that we prayed for safety to get here, but then that we'd beg God that God would do a work through him through the week, and that God would stir the hearts of our young people to draw them to himself. This week, it'll be a blessed week. We want you to come out and see it, but if you can't come and your schedule keeps you, it doesn't mean that you can't go there in prayer and beg God for every service. Around lunchtime, just before lunch, when your stomach starts to turn and you look at the high noon sun and you say, I must get lunch somewhere. You know, that when that stomach does that, that'd be a good time to pray, because they'll be in services just before lunch. And at night, that 7 o'clock time period, boy, what a time it'll be if you just pray. Even if you can't be there, if you just beg God to work and move in the services, we know we'd appreciate it. Brother Walker has been my friend a long time. And since I was a teenager, he came to my home church. I've said that before. But I thank God for his testimony. They've been on the road a long time, serving God and doing what God called them to do. And I'm thankful that he's continuing to do exactly. And I've asked him to preach this morning on Father's Day. Let me say again to our fathers, happy Father's Day. But we have a great Heavenly Father, don't we? Amen. That'll do a work in our lives. Brother Walker, you come and preach to us.
Good. Thank you, preacher. Well, it's good to be here this morning. If you'd rather be here than in jail, say amen. Boy, and I, may I say also happy Father's Day to all the daddies that are in here. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to get to be here with y'all. Been looking forward to it and being out of camp this week. May I say thank you for your prayers and kind encouraging words for the loss of our son-in-law. And we were able to be at the funeral last week, and to be able to be there with our daughter and granddaughters. And so thank you for asking. Thank you for praying. Thank you for your gift of love. And that's very much appreciated. And what a blessing you all are. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but you're in the safest place you could ever be. Amen. On a Sunday morning, right here in church. Do you know that? For safety's sake, don't ride in automobiles, because they cause 20% of all fatal accidents. Don't stay home, because 17% of all fatal accidents happen at home. Don't walk on the streets or sidewalks, because 14% of all fatal accidents happen to pedestrians. Don't travel by air, rail, or water, because 16% of all fatal accidents happen there. Only 1/1000th of a percent of all deaths reported occur at church. And these are related to previous physical disorders. So the safest place for you to ever be at any time is at church. Sunday night, safer yet. The stats there are even less. Wednesday night, safer yet. The stats there are even less. Coming out to junior camp, safer yet. The stats there are even less. So go to church. It could save your life. Amen. Thank God for the church. We're going to jump into the scriptures this morning from Micah chapter 7. And so one of those short Old Testament prophet books there at the back of your New Testament. or Old Testament, you'll find the book of Micah. So whenever you start coming into Obadiah and Jonah, well, you'll hit Micah there. And we're going to look there at Micah chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And when you find your places, let's all stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Micah chapter 7, and we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. Micah chapter 7, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleanings of vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood." We see here a disrespect for life. We see that a lot today. Boy, you hear it on the news all the time. Somebody gets mad, they just pull a gun, start shooting people. And of course, we know it's because of the guns. If we'd take all the guns away, that wouldn't happen. No, it'd just be a stick or a knife or whatever. It's people, right? Well, we know that. But the disrespect for life, you know, people don't think much about it. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for reward. I see here dishonest government. Oh, yeah. Just pay them off under the table. You know, if your last name is Clinton, you can just get by with anything, right? Yeah. The judge asketh for reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Mm-hmm. Verse 4, the best of them is as a briar. Well, we see here a decay of morals. Boy, it's amazing. This country. You just choose what you're going to be. If you're not a boy today, you can be a cat tomorrow. We'll put a litter box in the school washroom for you. Wow. Man. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. In the day of thy watchman, thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Well, we see distrust in friends. Well, people that you know and love the best turn around and violate you. They do you dirty. Put you not confidence in the guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, and the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. I see here the destruction of the family. Boy, homes are in a mess, aren't they? I'd like to preach to you for a few moments on this subject title on Father's Day, keeping the enemy out of the home. Keeping the enemy out of the home. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this great church. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. And I pray today you'd speak to our hearts and you'd challenge us and we would be better because of it. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Preacher, is Brother Tom here?
Yep.
Brother Tom, Miss Allison, and Joey, you have been volunteered. I don't know where you're at, but could you come up here? Where's Brother Tom and Miss Allison? And Joey? Where's Joey? Come on up here. Surprise, surprise. You have been chosen, okay, this morning. So come on down here. We're going to use this fine family that so graciously volunteered to help me this morning. And Brother Tom, I'm going to have you stand right here for me. You're going to be a visual aid. Okay. And then I'm going to let you scoot your distance. Okay. Then, if you come up on the second step there for a moment, and that, you got that break. Okay, now. And I want Joey, you come over here on that same step your mama is. Okay, now turn around, face your daddy. It shouldn't be too frightening for you. Okay, now. I want you to join hands, okay? And then you all join hands. Like this, and then you all join hands. Okay, now here we go. We got, this is the winning triangle of the home. And I'm using Brother Tom and Miss Allison and Joey to illustrate this, because preacher said that they was the worst, I mean, the best example of this, okay? And so we got Daddy, okay? See, the triangle is the strongest of all of the shapes, okay? And if we got Daddy, and by the way, the church is only as strong as the homes that make it up. That's right. And so if you've got a good, strong church, it's because you've got strong homes in the church, which makes it strong. And so in order for it to be strong, it's got to be set up right. You got to have Daddy. He's loving and leading. I don't know. Let me just make sure it's still here. I think it is. Ephesians 5. Let me see here. Ephesians 5. Let's see. Oh, yep. There it is. There it is. Verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife. Boy, we like that one, don't we? Man, that's a good verse. Amen. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So we got the Daddy, and look down at verse 25. Now, you women like this, husbands, love your wives. You can tell him, you're commanded to love me. I'm not commanded to love you, but you're commanded to love me. Tell him right there. Says in verse number 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we got Daddy. He's loving and he's leading. And Daddy, your family needs to know, and I'm not going to make you stand here the whole time, just for a moment, okay? All right. Your family needs to know that you love them. And you, that means you got to say it. You got to tell them, okay? Well, I show it, and I just ain't that way. Well, you need to shake that off. And you need to put it on. Well, my daddy never told me he loved me. Well, hey, dummy, don't keep up with the same mistakes that your daddy did. You got to break the cycle. And you decide, I'm going to tell them. Because if you love them, say it. They want to hear it. And so you tell them, I love you. How many kids have I had at camp tell me? I never had my daddy tell me that he loved me. Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't hide behind the sorry excuse, well, my daddy never told me he loved me. No, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to hold it up. In the Bible, we're supposed to put on some things and put off some things. And so, Daddy, love your family and tell them you love them and show them you love them, and then you're supposed to be a leader. Joey comes and asks his daddy something. He ain't supposed to always, well, ask your mama. Ask your mama. Ask, are we going to church today? Ask your mama. Are we going to pray today? Ask your mama. Are we? No. Daddy decide. Daddy says he's supposed to be leading in prayer, leading in spiritual matters, leading in the home. Then, if Daddy's in his place, and then we got the wifey, let me see if it's still here. I think it is. I think it is. Ephesians 5, 22. Oh, we love this one. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Boy, that word submission, that's rough. Feminists don't like it, but it's there. Because, see, God made man, and then he made woman. Now, the man's not supposed to be a dictator, you know. And you don't bow down to him like he's a god. But Sarah did call Abraham Lord. But anyway. But what's this? But the wifey, she's supposed to be sweet and submissive. She's a helpmeet. God made man, then he made woman. It doesn't mean that she's second level. Doesn't mean she's a doormat. It means us men have a harder time getting along without a wife than a wife does without a husband, okay? Because God just made us. We're needy people. He's a needy man. And he needs her, okay? She's a helpmeet. She's a completer, if you would. Now, when you got mama in her place, she's sweet and submissive. And that, listen, it's not a dirty word. You're submissive at work. You submit to your employer. You submit to your husband to authority. You should be submissive to your pastor. We live with submission. All of us do. Okay? And so, you know, the preacher, if he was to jump up right now and say, hey, you're done, then I'm done. He's the pastor. Right? If he says, this way I want to do it, then, you know, just because you're in charge of your little area doesn't mean that you're God over that. Huh? Well, I'm in charge of the nursery. Well, if the preacher wants it done a certain way, then you say, yes, sir. And if you don't like it, then you just resign, step to the side, let somebody else do it. But we're supposed to submit to authority. He's not God. He's not a dictator. But we got to understand the chain of command. Okay? So wifey, she's sweet and submissive. Daddy, he's loving and leading. And Buford, I mean Joey here, he's honoring and he's obeying. Amen? Problem is, you got most of the kids running the home. Yeah, and it's reversed. But you get things set up right, okay? And how you treat your parents, or no, let me say this. How much you value your parents will be reflected in how you treat them. Oh, yeah. How much do you value mom and daddy? That determines how you. And if you want to live a long time, you'll honor and you'll respect. Brother Richard was speaking about that in Sunday school this morning to the boys. That was really good. Now, I'm going to let you all break up because I know you can't take much of this. And I'm going to have you all three stand up here for a moment, okay, next to each other. We'll put wifey in the middle. Put daddy, we'll put you down on that end because I'm a little OSD. Anyway, all right, anyway, see, OCS, DSO, whatever you call that. Okay, here we go. All right, so we got daddy, mama, and the youngin' here. Now, we're going to keep the enemy out of the home. And the first way that we're going to keep the enemy out of the home is this. Look over in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, right quick. And turn there. Romans chapter 13. We're going to hit this. You're going to have to listen quick here this morning. Because I know you want to go out and get something to eat. But right now we're going to give you something here from the Word of God. Romans chapter number 13, verse number 8. Bible says, owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, number one, if we're going to keep the enemy out of the home, we got to love unconditionally. Now, Miss Allison, you've probably never seen one of these before. But, Brother Tom, this is what they call a Valentine's gift, okay? And at Valentine's, you're supposed to give your favorite wife some candy, okay? Or something that she really likes in that heart. So this heart right here is going to represent that unconditional love. They ought to know it. Love them. Okay, we're commanded to love, and it is one of the royal commandments, amen, to love one another, loving unconditionally. Hey, we're supposed to love them when they're skinny, love them when they're fat, love them when they're rich, love them when they're poor, love them when they're kind, love them when they're mean, love them when they're healthy, love them when they're sick. You know, what your wife looks like now might not be what she looked like when you first got married. I mean, you might wake up in the morning and her hair is all plastered on the side of her head. She's got matter under her eyes, bags, bad breath, wearing her granny nightgown. And it's like, whoa, what a sight. But you know what? You are commanded to love unconditionally. Amen? You look, you know, one woman said, my husband's got the three B's disease. Three B's, baldness, bulges, and bunions, okay? Don't matter. You're going to love unconditionally. The Bible says in Hosea 3:1, and Hosea chapter number 3, In verse number 1, let me turn that over to that right quick. Hosea, there we go. Chapter 3, verse number 1. Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord towards the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine." See, Hosea was commanded to love his adulterous wife and plead for her to come home. And she eventually did come home when he bought her back at the slave auction. Well, what an unbelievable picture of unconditional love. Boy, God help us to learn how to love. Bible says in Proverbs 10:12, "Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins." I remember Brother Tom Williams, evangelist friend. Has Brother Tom been here? He probably has through the years, probably. Brother Tom Williams, a dear friend of mine, an evangelist mentor of mine, and when his wife Pam, he and her were out of the country, she got meningitis, and while she was there, and just a nightmare story, basically what happens, his wife, Miss Pam, turns into a 5-year-old girl. He has got to dress her. He's got to comb her hair. He's got to do everything for her, complete caregiving. And he took his wife around, and it was basically a sermon illustration of loving unconditionally. And he loved her, and he took care of her, and he didn't put her in a home. Would have been a lot easier to get one of the kids come in and take care of her. But he took her with him and even hired a nurse to travel with them. Why? Because he loved her. That unconditional love. See, if we put this in action, it will keep the enemy out of the home. Let me give you another one. Oh, let me see the heart there, Miss Allison. I think we got to say, oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah. All right. Hold on to this magnifying glass. That magnifying glass, and you can sit down there for a moment. I don't want to make you stand the whole time. You sit there. And that magnifying glass is going to represent leave room for failure. Don't expect perfection. Well, some people got their magnifying glass, and they're always examining everything, and they expecting the kids to get straight A's on the report card. They expect everything. No, no, no. Leave room for failure. Okay, they're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. And if you're going to keep the enemy out, leave room for failure. She was at Walmart and was in a hurry and stressed. And she left her purse in the shopping cart. And she loaded up the groceries and left the cart there with her purse at Walmart. Oh, I'm sure it's going to be safe. Leaving your purse in the car and driving down the road. And then all of a sudden she realized, where's my purse? And so she panics and does a U-turn illegally and has an accident. And she's all in tears. And she calls her husband and explains to him that she left the purse at Walmart. And one or two things are going to happen. What? Left the purse at Walmart? You never think. You're all the time doing stupid stuff. Man, I love that blonde hair comes through all the time. He could unload on her. And had a wreck in the car. I just got that for you. My goodness, why don't you pay attention? No, no. She doesn't need that. She's already feeling bad enough. She needs you to say, oh, I'm sorry. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. We'll cancel those credit cards. Let's just pray. Leave room for failure. Huh? How would you react in that situation? Don't expect perfection, okay? Give him a break. Husband forgets your birthday. Don't jump to conclusions. Oh, he doesn't care. He's home late. Oh, he must be having an affair. Oh, it's like, give him a break. Leave room for mistakes. Okay, they're going to mess up. My wife, she forgot to mail in my hunting license. I'd made an application to hunt in Colorado a few years ago, and I've let it go. I was supposed to go hunting in Colorado with my buddy, and I entrusted her to send it in, and I could have jumped to conclusion and say, yeah, she did that to spite me. didn't want me to spend the money. Or I could have been understanding and say, you know what? She had a lot of honor. I should have double checked. You know, how do you handle mistakes? How do you handle failures? Okay, you're going to keep the devil out. You got to leave room for that. And leave room for things like that to happen. Leave room for failure. Man, so much. But I tell you a story about it. Is Richard in here? Oh, there he is in the back. Sorry, Brother Richard, but anyway. Miss Jennifer sent Brother Richard off to a love clinic a few years ago. He's having problems in the marriage. So she sent him off. He comes back home a changed man. He comes back home, he's all dressed up. He doesn't walk in the house. He knocks on the front door, dressed up, suit of clothes, bouquet of flowers, box of candy. Stand there smiling, gonna surprise her. Miss Jennifer comes, opens up the door, and sees Brother Richard standing there with that big old smile, that nice suit on, those bouquet of flowers and that box of candy. He says, "Surprise, I love you, babe." She just starts squalling. Oh, she starts bawling and squalling, and he's like, "Jennifer, what's the matter? What's the matter?" She said, "This has been the worst day of my life. Oh, the toilet clogged up. The baby cut its finger. I burnt supper, and now you come home drunk." Isn't that the way it happened? But she left room for failure, amen? Oh, yeah. Hey, you're going to keep the enemy out, leave room for failure. Now, stand up one more time. I got to do another one here. All right? So we're going to keep the enemy out of home. Number one, we're going to love unconditionally, and we want our family to know that we love them. Shouldn't be no doubt in their mind. Number two, we're going to leave room for failure. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. Don't expect perfection. Number three, we're going to let go of the past. Let go of the past. Hold on to that bag right there, Joy. Everybody's got baggage. You ever said that before? He's got baggage. She's got baggage. We all got baggage. Okay. We got to learn to forgive, forget, let it go, bury it. You need a poor memory of past mistakes if you're going to keep the enemy out of the home. Therefore, a man's family is it? No. Your family is not the enemy. Your mother-in-law, well, maybe. No, but anyway, your brothers, your sisters, they shouldn't be the enemy. You ought to be close, really close. Man, during the funeral for my son-in-law, when I got up and spoke, my daughter's sitting in the second row, and I've got three kids, two boys and a girl. The boys sandwiched her, and they were both on each side. It was so precious to see them with their arms around her, hugging her, holding her both hands. She was so comforted by having her brothers right there. They're close, very close. Not just because the funeral, they're close. They've always been close like that. And that's because we didn't allow them to mistreat each other when they was growing up. We didn't allow our kids to call each other names and to be hateful and mean and nasty and put up signs on their door, "Stay out, fungus, this means you." We didn't let them say ugly, unkind words. And if you do that, you're not very smart. You're shooting yourself in the foot. "Well, they're just being kids." No, that's not right. They ought to be close, and you got to cultivate it, and you got to engineer that. You got to make it happen. So let go of the past. Bury it. Forget it. Don't bring it up. I remember whenever Loretta was pregnant with Joe, my baby, we was in the mountains in West Virginia, far away from the hospital. Loretta says, "Kevin, I think today could be the day." "Well, don't worry. I won't be right here at the camp. I run a church camp in the mountains of West Virginia. You all are headed up there." So I said, "It's all right. I'll be around. And then if something happens, just, you know, holler at me on the radios." And I said, "I'm going just right over the hill." I had set up an appointment with a man to buy a horse. I was buying a Tennessee Walker horse that was 7-year-old gelding, that was neck rein, voice command. Man, you could just lay the reins on his neck and he'd spin around on a dime. buddy, he was something else. And it took me forever to get in touch with him. And finally set up the deal, set up the time, set up the money. Man, $500, I'm buying this horse. It's worth a whole lot more. And so she's like, Kevin, I hope, could you just stay? I said, Lord, I'm just going over the hill. She said, I think that I'm going to be having that baby. Sit down for a moment. This will take a second, okay? And I said, it's going to be okay. And so, Mina, I should have been considerate and loving and understanding and should have said, okay, I'll send somebody over there and we'll just have to terminate it or we'll have to do it later. But I didn't. I made a mistake. I said, I'm just going to run over the hill and grab this horse, thinking it's going to be okay. It's just over the hill. Well, in the time I run over the hill, grabbed the horse, paid for it, rode him back, but I thought I was a Lone Ranger, man, riding into the camp on that horse. Well, about that time, one of the stabbers waved me down. Your wife is needing to get to the hospital right away. And I thought, oh, Lord. I ran the horse up there, and she was jumping in the truck, throwing, I told you, throwing her stuff in there. She was pregnant, okay, out of her mind. Anyway, she was, oh, buddy, man, and I jumped in the truck, gave the horse to somebody else to take, drove her in town. It was a quiet drive. But you know what? That was a mistake. I should not have done that. I didn't make my family feel loved, my wife, you know. But you know, she's never brought it up. She never held that over me. She never slapped me with it. She never dug up the passes. Yeah, I remember, you don't care about me. You love that horse more, you know, which is not true. But I could see why she'd feel that way, because I was being a knothead, you know. That wasn't very smart. See, you got to let go of the past. If you're going to keep the enemy out, let go of it. Don't bring it up. Don't be reminding them of it all the time. Hey, you're going to keep the enemy out of the home? I'll have y'all hold on this. You hold on to one, you hold on. That chain link there, those cuffs are going to represent financial bondage. If you're going to keep the enemy out of the home, live free of bondage financially. Don't run up those credit cards. Man, so many people getting credit. They want to tithe. They want to give to the radio station. They want to help, but they can't because they're in bondage because they've made some bad decisions. And people are funny. They buy stuff they don't need with money they don't have to impress people they don't like. Hey, save the money. And then once you get the money, then see, don't go window shopping. It creates desires for things that you can't have. So wait and save it and then buy it. Live free. The borrower is servant to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. It's still there. It's still there. Man, be careful. Be careful. Hey, live free of bondage. Going to keep the enemy out of the home? Y'all stand up for a second. Number one, we're going to love unconditionally. Number two, we're going to leave room for failure. Number three, we're going to let go of the past and not bring it up. Not ever make reference to it. Not ever slap them with it. Next, we're going to live free of bondage. Well, how many arguments are from finances? How many arguments stem from the financial pressures? And then she's got to get a job and he's got to work overtime to pay for the toys that he bought that he couldn't afford in the first place. Okay? Boy, be careful about that. You're going to keep the enemy out? If you would activate these things, boy, it'll help you. Hey, let me give you this next one. Learn to say good things about each other. Got a laundry bag. Have you hold this over your shoulder. That laundry bag stands for, what does it stand for? Learn to say good things about each other. Amen. Don't air your dirty laundry. Don't air. The whole town doesn't need to know about all your problems. Now, you all can be seated for a moment. All your family doesn't need to know about the squabble. They don't need to know about the arguments, okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. Okay? I can't get him to do anything around here. You're airing your dirty laundry. I can hear all the women getting a hairdo, sitting around talking at the Mission Impossible Paint and Body Salon. My husband's like an old lawnmower. Oh, yeah? How's he like an old lawnmower? Well, he's hard to get started. He emits obnoxious odors, and half the time he doesn't work. They're laughing, stabbing and jabbing. No. You ought to talk about your husband or wife in such a way it creates a desire in the hearts of others to want to meet them. Huh? Yeah. Learn to say good things about each other. Don't embarrass your son when there's a bunch of teenagers over at the house and you want to tell the story about how he wet the bed 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, Joey, to bring that up. I'm sorry. But you know what? He's like, don't run them down in front of people. Don't hurt them with your words, okay? Man, God help us to learn to say good things, building things. Anybody can tear stuff down, but I find there's very few that can build and encourage and edify. Oh, God help us to learn to say good things. Don't air your dirty laundry. And then last of all, we'll be done, because I'm getting hungry. I think this box here has got something else in it. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Okay. Now, y'all stand up for a second. This last one, if we're going to keep the enemy out of the home, a man's enemies are his family? No. Shouldn't be that way. Should be a best friends. If you are close, then it's because you work at it. And if you are close, it's because you love unconditionally. If you got a family that's, and divorce will never come. Kids won't be running away. The family won't be busting up if you activate these things. If you love unconditionally, you leave room for failure, live free of bondage. Man, you let go of the past, learn to say good things. No, man, it's a recipe. It's going to help you. Going to strengthen your home. Last of all, I'm going to give you some special glasses, Brother Tom. Okay. Put them on right there. There you go. Them glasses represent my last and final point, and that is look to God. Look right there. Look right there before we go. In Micah 7, verse number 7, after reading all that stuff, and all that bad, we see here, right after a man's enemies are the men of his own house. Verse 7 says, therefore, I'll look unto the Lord. I'll wait for the God of my salvation. And he will hear. When you don't know what to do, pray. You're going to learn to look to God. Amen. Well, that's what you got to do when you don't know what to do. It's what Hannah did when she was in bitterness of soul. Look to God. Now, y'all done a pretty good job here. I'm going to let y'all put that stuff on that bench and go back to your seat while I tell one story and we're going to be done. Give my family here a big hand, Brother Tom, Miss Allison, Brother Joy. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being a visual aid here this morning. Let me say this. Can I make sure your family's saved? Make sure they're saved. When my sister got saved, she's second oldest. I wasn't even born yet. She comes home. She's 8 years old. Mama, I got saved. When I die, I'm going to heaven, right? Mama says, yes, Wanda, that's right. You're going to heaven. And when you die, you're going to heaven, right? And Mama says, yes, that's right, because I'm saved too. And I'll be in heaven too when I die. And she says, and Ricky, her big brother, the oldest, and Ricky, when he dies, he's going to heaven. And Mama says, yeah, that's right. When he dies, he's going to heaven too. And she says, and Daddy, when Daddy dies, he's going to heaven, right? And Mama said, no. And she said, what? She couldn't imagine her daddy dying and going to hell. And Mama had to explain to her, Daddy's not saved. Man, that tore her up. Man, she commenced to praying and commenced to begging God to save her daddy. Amen. And commenced to asking him to come to church because she knew if she'd get him to church, but he was always full of excuses. She'd pull on his clothes and say, "Daddy, please come to church with us," thinking he'd come and get saved, and he would try to be tough, and he'd push her away, and, "No, I can't, I'm busy," always have an excuse, and she'd get in the back seat of the car and look out the window. His dad would stand on the front porch. She'd wave by, tears running down her face, praying for her daddy to get saved. Daddy says, I couldn't sleep. He said, "I was under such conviction." He said, she'd be laying in her bed at night. She'd be praying, "Oh, God, save my daddy. I don't want him to die and go to hell." And he'd say, "I was in the other room." And he said, "And I'd be so afraid to go to sleep, because if I went to sleep, I was afraid I'd wake up in hell." Holy Spirit of God was convicting him. The prayers of that little girl grabbed his heart and soul. And after about 2 weeks of that, he couldn't take any more. Reverend Starnum was preaching a revival up there on Sand Mountain. 6-week-long revival. Last night of the revival, my dad went to church. Wanda was so tickled. She'd been praying. She'd been begging God for my daddy to get saved. Guess what happened? Man, that night before they even started the invitation, my daddy couldn't take it. He jumped up out of his seat, ran down to the altar. Man, Wanda went down there with him. She was weeping and crying. And boy, I mean to tell you what, they had a Babdecostal spell right there. Woo, daddy got saved. And man, the preacher stood all the people up that had gotten saved during the revival meeting, that almost completely made a big giant circle around the whole auditorium. My daddy was front and center, and he held his hands on my daddy's shoulders and said, "We've been praying for you, Buck, to get saved." Man, my dad says, "I'll never forget that." Man, my sister and her prayers, God used that little girl, that little red-headed girl and her prayers to get her daddy saved. Oh, yeah, children have a power, do they not? Man, thank God for a child that prayed her daddy to getting saved. And he's in heaven now, and we'll get to see him. I thank God for that. I tell my sister, "Thank you for loving. Thank you for praying. Thank you for caring." But you know, sometimes I meet people that don't even care, it seems. You ask them, do they know they're going to heaven? "Well, I don't know." You have to ask them. I'm thinking, that's your own flesh and blood. They live under the same roof. You don't know if they're saved? Are you kidding me? I can't comprehend that. Make sure your family's saved, Daddy. Make sure your family's saved, Mama. I hope that they're not praying for you to die so they could have some peace. It'd be better for you to be gone. Oh, no. I hope it'd be just the opposite. Little granddaughter came into the room. Papa was sitting there reading the paper. She was just a little sweetheart. She come in there and she says, "Papa, Papa." He laid the paper down. "Yes, what do you want?" "Can you make a noise like a frog?" He said, "No, I'm not gonna make a noise like a frog. I ain't got time for that. Go on outside. Clay, do something else." Starts reading his paper. She leaves. She's persistent. A few moments later, she comes in. She says, "Papa, Papa." "Yes." She said, "Can you make a noise like a frog?" He says, "No, I can't. I won't. Now go do something else. I already told you before. I ain't got time for that nonsense." She leaves. He starts reading his paper. A few moments later, here she comes. "Papa, Papa." He lays down his paper, says, "Yes." "Can you make a noise like a frog?" He said, "Why do you want me to make a noise like a frog?" "Well, Nana said when you croak, we're going to Disney World." Well, you know, that was a long time ago before they got their such a horrible agenda that they probably had anyway. But then, nonetheless, the funny, you can't help but laugh at the humor in that, but then the simple fact of the matter is, There's some truth there. Hope they're not praying for you to die because you make their life so miserable. I hope they're praying that you'd live forever because you bring them so much joy and happiness. They couldn't imagine what life would be like without you. Now here it is and we're done. This morning, if you don't know for sure 100% you're on your way to heaven, would you do what my daddy did and make the greatest decision in your life and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? He made it so hard, and he said, but it's actually so simple. If you're here today and you got a loved one and they're not saved, will you do what my sister did and nudge him and say, hey, I love you, I care about you, I want you to be in heaven. I'll go down with you. That little nudge, but sometimes that's all people need. Maybe this morning you feel like, you know what? I don't want the enemy to take over. I want to keep the enemy out of our home. And maybe you have. Maybe you just need to pray for some special reinforcements. Maybe there's a special need. Maybe there's something going on. I don't know what your need is. It'd be a blessing to see some families praying together, saying, Lord, help us. Keep up our defense, because the enemy wants to destroy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our fathers. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of heaven. And I pray, number one, this morning, if there's somebody here and they don't know they're saved on their way to heaven, that they would make the decision to accept you before it's too late. I pray, dear Lord, if there's somebody here today, Lord, and maybe they're having, maybe the enemy has gotten in. Maybe their family is coming apart. I pray you'd help them to press the reset button and do everything they can to be a part of the solution and not the problem. We pray that you'd work in hearts. As we all stand together, as the piano begins to play a verse of invitation, if God has spoken to you this morning, you come. If you're here this morning and you say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, then you come. You got a friend with you, a family member. You don't know if they're saved. Bring them down the aisle right now. Put your arm around their neck. Say, I love you. I care about you. I want to see you in heaven. You bring them. Maybe you just want to come with your family and pray. Maybe you got some situations going on. You need the Lord to do a miracle. You need him to work. Maybe there's been threats of divorce. Maybe there's some lives that's been damaged. Thank God we've got a God that forgives and heals. You obey the Lord today. Whatever your need is, you come and you're looking for a church to join up with, well, I hope you consider Landmark Baptist. You need to get baptized, you come. You need somebody to pray with you, you come. Invitation's open. Altar call has been given. Pastor's here and would love to pray with you if he could be of any help and service. He's going to come and take over the invitation, but you obey God this morning. Pastor.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and wait. Of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head? head with me this morning and close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you do not know Christ as your Savior. You've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ where you've accepted Him as your personal Savior, His finished work of Calvary. You've trusted in it to know for sure that heaven will be your home. Today could be the day of salvation. Listen, dads, if you're here, that you can never lead your home the way you ought to without knowing Christ as Savior. Why don't you just, what a day to get saved as a dad, a father of the home, and receive Jesus as your Savior. If you don't know that, today could be the day of salvation. If you're here and you're any part of His family, one of the ways you can honor your father is by accepting His Savior. Today, whatever God has spoken you and asked you to do, as Brother Bert sings, and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, why don't you step out and do that this morning?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Been a good message for us this morning. Amen. Take strong families to have a strong church. Listen, I hope you'll take one of those things. You know, I don't know. It's like kind of like perfect people. It's hard to find one that's got everything together, isn't it? And in our families, we may put on a good show, but a lot of times there's something in each one of our families that if we would apply those things to our lives, we'd be a stronger family. And we ought to today. We ought to take those things and apply it to our lives, and it'll help us. If you're here today and you knew you needed to be saved and you couldn't step out and you couldn't come forward during the invitation, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you can be saved. It'd be the pleasure of my life to be able to do that for you this morning. Listen, all you need to do, I'll be at the back door. I'd be happy. Just take my hand, say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." I'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. You'll be on your way to heaven. Thank you for coming. Thank you, visitors, for being with us. Happy Father's Day to our fathers. Amen. And come back tonight. You'll enjoy it. There'll be more singing and more preaching. Amen. And you can't never get enough of both of those two things, right? Amen. Let's close out in prayer. And you guys have a wonderful day, safe afternoon. And I hope you fathers have a great Father's Day. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for the truths that we heard about today from your word, Lord. I pray that our families would be strengthened by applying the truth of God's word to their family. God, help us to grow closer to you and closer to each other through the truths of God's word. I pray that you go with each family, Lord. Protect them, watch over them as they go their different ways today, Lord. I pray you bring us back to this place at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.